harping on wars we fight, griping about the way things ought to be. Tonight I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my countrymen, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and talking down to me. If you don't love it, leave it, let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fight beside me.
Down the fighting side of me, and that's the name of this program here on whiteresistanceradio.com. Well, lots more news and views for our people, and of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia and New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. A good friend of mine is Brad Love. He is, among other things, a citizen journalist. And he's up in Fort McMurray. He's been working up there in the oil patch for over 10 years. And he's a shrewd observer of the local scene, particularly the immigration invasion. And, of course the act of collaboration in this invasion by certain elements of the local establishment, politicians, etc. And here's his latest series of observations. 45 local QP, that's Canadian Union Public Employee workers, who maintain and clean this city's large number of subsidized housing units, have been locked out due to a wage dispute. They've already been replaced by an Indian-owned company called Bee Clean, like Busy Bee, with a mostly third world workforce. A lot of the locked-out workers are Filipinos, who ironically have been replaced by their very own people, perhaps even relatives. In less than one generation, new Canadian workers have been replaced by newer Canadians who have lowballed them. Trudeau let them in, and our mayor, who is married to a China woman from Red China, and whose law firm aids temporary foreign workers, is an enabler to such scabbing. No one picks up on this, and my MPs, MLAs, and local representatives never utter a peep. Observation number two. I notice a large number of women here who go to extremes to look like men. Shaved haircuts neck tattoos, wall caps, loose clothing. The lesbian court, and I mean hardcore, has reached creepy levels. And of course, they are escorting an actual feminine-looking female, I think, as well as young kids. By whom? Between this tripe and the biracial coupling, it's no wonder my town is failing. Morals are zero. Observation number three. Since arriving here 13 years ago, I've noticed women driving men around. In Ontario, assume that poor guy lost his license, but here it's not so. Most of these dudes, white of course, are site workers, totally pacified by the politically correct regulations that Suncor, etc., demands from them, making them total pussies. Whose own wives also push them around. I've actually seen women pumping gas while the man, I think, sits like a dope in the passenger seat, texting on his phone like a 12-year-old girl. I used to think that this was a newfie culture, as all the newfs are terrified of their old ladies. But now, and knowing how ball-busting it is to work as a rough, tough oil worker, I've come to realize that these mushwits were created. You also know that these men, in quotation marks, never vote. Speak out or try to help our cause. Pathetic. Observation number four. My neighborhood is full of abandoned homes, closed warehouses, unplated vehicles. While on work sites, I know South American workers, Filipinos, or young homeless-looking whites. So you just know their employers are paying them. Well, I won't say exactly what he said, but F all, very little. See, older white guys, I see older white guys laying sod in new townhouse projects that will never be sold off. And they look as if they've been recruited from a Salvation Army shelter. I kid you not. Where does all this end? People speak of good times, the wages returning, but with all of this cheap labor around, willing to work for less than less, how can this be so? These idiots here just don't get economics. Observation number five. You'd think other city workers would pick up on the fact that their job days are also numbered. As my goofy city council look for ways to save money. But like most of the whites, they're fearful of anything that moves until it's too late. Meanwhile, my city blows money on local feel-good projects, games, festivals, while 3 years later, 3 years after the fire, lots of housing and infrastructure remain unfinished. Incredible. A good attorney general would have been seeking actual criminal investigations into this, but they can be good attorney generals if a guy like me can beat them in court. They can't be good attorney generals if a guy like me can beat them in court. I make a joke, but none of this is actually funny. Observation 6, Suncor, this is a big oil company, actually gets almost $6 million in our tax money to set up electric vehicle purchase and charging station start of money. An oil company that makes billions of dollars gets a subsidy for battery operation technology. What's next? The B'nai B'rith purchase SS uniforms for its executives. Observation 7. While this town is messed up, asleep or unobservant, I do whatever I want and have my way. Brad is an original, a real Canadian original, and an absolutely fantastic freedom fighter, and has been so all his life. Well, bad news actually on the free speech front. In fact, sad to say, there is seldom good news. Bill Watcott, he's a preacher, and he is a man who's campaigned very hard against abortion clinics, and in so doing has in years past run afoul of Canada's police state laws, creating what are called bubble zones around abortuaries. Depending on the specifics of the legislation, these could be anywhere from 100 to 200 yards. That is, you'd be unable to be within that area. That's often like blocks to protest against the abortion clinic. Even standing there silently with a sign could could get you tossed in jail. And Bill Watcott has gone to jail on numerous occasions in the past for Christian testimony. And, you know, I don't want to exaggerate it. I mean, he's not been killed or anything like that. But when you think about the term, you know, Christian martyr, are people who've actually gone to jail for their beliefs. Now, you have to think about people built like Bill Watcott. In the Acts of the Apostles, one of the apostles says that he's been, you know, in prison more often, in stripes without numbers, that is, you know, being whipped, lashed. That there's been times when Christians have actually sacrificed their lives, paid with their lives for their faith, and perhaps paid with less, but still very serious consequences. Now, we're not talking about ancient history. We're talking about right today. And who are the persecutors? Well, the persecutors are more often than not the state, very often operating at the behest of Christian-hating people. And you may have a pretty good idea who some of those Christian-hating people are. Well, anyway, about Bill Watcott. Bill Watcott's gospel was preaching, and I saw him there because we intervened in the O.J. case. O.J. is a transgender thingy. Name Ronan O.J. has a penis, but Ronan, beginning about 5 years ago, began to believe he was a woman, and began to dress like that, and so on, and now insists on being called Morgan O'J. Anyway, he ran in the 2017 provincial election in British Columbia, in Vancouver Falls Creek, and Bill Watcott decided that he wanted to campaign against him. And so he put out a couple of thousand flyers, and in these flyers he made several arguments. Number one, he argued that biblically and rationally, transgenderism is a form of mental illness. That there are, you know, there really are only two genders, and if you're born a woman, you're a woman. If you're born a man, you're a man. It doesn't matter what you think you are. And he went on to point out that if O.J. cannot get his gender right, then what sort of representative would he be for the voters in Victoria? You know, if you can't get your gender right, are you going to be able to get the budget right? And it's actually a profoundly good point. And it's a point, you know, we might make about our society in general. When a society loses its way, and I mean that not in kind of a vague moral sense, but I mean it very specifically. When you have same-sex marriage, when you can't get the very basics right, you know, marriage, a man and a woman, that didn't used to be a difficult point. That didn't used to be, oh boy, there are many ways of doing this. No. Almost all religions, all but the freakiest of Christians, many Jews, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, Sikhs, Jains, Zoroastrians, and most of those who would be unchurched, could all agree on this. What's marriage? Well, that's an easy one. That's an easy question. It's a man and a woman in a committed relationship. That's a marriage. Not two men, not two women, not a man and a dog, a goat, man and a woman. That's easy. Well, beginning a little over 10 years ago, Canada went off the tracks. Our Supreme Court, 9 cultural Marxists against common sense, decided that the traditional definition of marriage was violated the equality rights. This is where madness leads to further madness. If you believe all people are equal, well, you're already, well, let's not be unkind. We'll call you mad. You're just deluded. That's like saying, I absolutely believe the sun rises in the west. Well, you can believe that. It's not true, but you can believe it, I guess, if you want. They declare, so we have same-sex marriage. We have gone further and further and further into enshrining not the rights, but the tyranny of the sexually weird. In some jurisdictions, you run into legal problems if you misgender somebody. Now, just in case you think that's some sort of assault where you hack away at their private parts, it's not. To misgender somebody is to refuse to play in their deluded mental sandbox. So, if a person says, I'm a woman, even though quite clearly they're a man, they've got a sort of a man's physique, and you have reason to believe they have a penis, but you don't play along and refer to them as whatever, in this case of O.J., as Morgan, and refer to this creature as she or her, rather than, you know, what they are biologically, he or him, you can actually run into penalties, as Bill Watcott has in British Columbia. This stuff is serious. And my observation is that when a society can't get those things right, it will get more complicated things wrong. For instance, why do we have this huge problem with border security? Why is there even a debate in the United States about illegals? on the, I'm actually going to get back to Walcott in a minute, but on the Ethnostate. And I do urge you to catch that program. It's a weekly program with a host is Bill Johnson, the chairman of the American Freedom Party. A regular co-host is myself, Paul Fromm, with the Canadian Association for Free Expression, our coordinator and inspiration and producer is Ken Gibbon, and we all usually have another noteworthy guest today. Our guest was attorney Jason Robb from Arkansas, who's the son of and close associate of Pastor Tom Robb. Anyway, on that show today, we were talking about the fact that President Trump has announced that further measures to detain illegals and to simply cart them to the border and return them without further trial or legal proceedings. Now, it was presented to us, and even I had some trouble believing this, but we're told that under the regulations, people who got more than 100 miles away from the border were not really targeted for apprehension, or if they'd been here more than a couple of weeks. And, you know, I think we were all shaking our heads. How can this be? How can you set up a system to protect your borders that is so hamstrung with nonsense, which is created in such a way that your actions are deliberately sabotaged by your own rules? I said, you know, wouldn't this be the equivalent of saying, now, we will chase after bank robbers, let's say. However, if you robbed the bank more than a month ago, and if you get more than, let's say, arbitrarily 50 miles away from where the robbery occurred, we're not going to bother. I mean, does that make any sense? Does that compute? Well, it doesn't. And in Canada we have a similar dysfunctional enforcement system. 43,000 and counting illegals have stormed across the Quebec border, mostly in Quebec, a few in Manitoba, at a place called Roxham Road, from upper New York State. It's all organized. They come up to the border in buses or taxis or other organized forms of transportation. They stagger out with their usually quite up-to-date suitcases, cross through a field, and they are met by the RCMP, who lock arms and turn them back. Who picked up their suitcases and helped carry them. Yeah, it's nuts, isn't it? Excuse for this, and it is so convoluted it would take a Talmudic lawyer to figure it out. You see, we have a treaty with the United States called the Third Safe Country Treaty, which was a mild reform but a step in the right direction. And what it says is this: because both countries are democratic and have in place refugee acceptance systems, it's deemed that both are safe. So the idea is to prevent refugee shopping and overburdening the already burdened refugee determination system. The rule is, if you land in Canada, you must make your application for refugee status there. And similarly, if you land first in the United States, you must make your application there. And, you know, it will sink or swim. You can't then skedaddle up to Canada, or conversely, if you're in Canada, you can't skedaddle down to the United States. Okay, that makes sense. So you would say, well, why then are these 43,000 people who over the past 2 years come up to Canada, why would they not simply turn back at the border? Because it was their obligation to make their refugee claim in the United States, right? Yep. So far, so good. So far, all is clear. Well, you haven't reckoned with a system that simply does not want to function effectively. The Trudeau Liberals have interpreted the same third country agreement thus. If a person arrives at a designated border crossing, you see, where there's, you know, customs and immigration people, well then, and they seek to make a refugee claim, they would be turned back, according to the treaty, right? That makes sense. Well, if they walk 100 yards down the from that border crossing to a field which is not fenced, and walk across the border, well, they're in a different category. Now, you may be scratching your head and say, oh, am I just not very smart, or what have I missed here? Well, what you've missed is legal chicanery. You see, that's not a designated border crossing. Okay, well, actually, they're crossing illegally then, right? Well, but because it's not a designated border crossing, we actually don't know where they came from, so they say. And therefore, they have the right to make a refugee claim. Well, I mean, it's quite clear the spirit of the, and the intent of the law was to prevent this sort of refugee shopping. And I've said on a number of occasions that, well, of course we know where they came from. Because on the other side of that farthest field is the United States. Where else would they have come from? Unless you want to speculate that they were one of them was on a huge pogo stick somewhere in northern Mexico and went thump, 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 woo, flew over to, oh, 1,100 miles or so and plopped down into southern Quebec. Is that possible? Of course it's not possible. So we throw deliberate roadblocks into the as procedures to, in fact, sabotage the intent of the law and to sabotage the clear and legitimate goal of protecting the borders from illegals. Now, all of us on the panel today concluded that you know we're in the realm of severe mental confusion. Illegals, that should be easy. They're illegal. Well, you apprehend them and you throw them out. And if they come back, they're illegal and you punish them. That's elementary. Well, what is there to debate? It's like, I don't know, do you think we should actually apprehend bank robbers? Well, you know, I don't know. Well, you know, maybe if we label them a little differently. They're not exactly robbing banks. They're making irregular deductions or withdrawals. Irregular withdrawals. Oh, I see. Well, that sounds like more or less an accounting issue. You see what I mean? And that is, I believe, a result of a society whose leadership, I don't want to mean the society entirely, but is fundamentally morally lost. Yeah, if you don't get the basics right, and among the basics are, you know, things like marriage and human sexuality. If you can't get that right, you're going to get some of the other stuff wrong. And I see that's what's happening. This seems like a very long way back to Bill Watka. But Bill's in trouble again. At the hands of the same persecutors. And make no mistake about it, the LGBTQ gang are persecutors. They hate Christians. They want to destroy Christians. And they want to destroy the fundamentals of our society. I'm going to digress one more time.
When our Prime Minister, the trust fund kid, Justin Trudeau, scarcely ever misses a gay pride parade anywhere in this country. There he is with his mouth hanging open and grinning and waving his waving rainbow flags and embracing creatures. He did this about a year and a half ago in Halifax. These were there were two I don't know what they were. They were females. They had fairly large breasts. They were topless. Yeah, he had his arms around them. All big old grin. I think they had hearts or painted on their nipples. Now, you know, if this had been almost any other situation, this would be seen as some form of sexual, well, not necessarily sexual harassment, I know that term they love so much, inappropriate behavior. You know, like if I went to a strip club and put my arms around a stripper who was topless, let's say, or bottomless too, that'd be risky. Probably not the sort of thing I ought to do, but there would be condemnation if that became public. Well, here's the Prime Minister mugging with these two topless creatures. I assume they were lesbians. Why would topless women be, topless heterosexual women be in a gay pride parade? But anyway, that's what Trudeau does. Trudeau goes to as many of these gay pride parades, I would say at least four or five every year. Now, there's a man who presumably is busy. He's the Prime Minister of the country. Taking time out to by his very presence endorse this sexual confusion. this tremendous devotion to the LGBTQ crowd signals a profoundly lost person. Anyway, I said I'd get back to Walkup, and he is in trouble again. Bill Watcott's gospel preaching in front of the British Columbia Human Rights Tribunal that Mr. Yaniv claims caused immense injury to dignity and self-respect, so much so that Mr. Yaniv allegedly needs $35,000 in compensation to recover. Bill Watcott at the BC Human Rights Tribunal in the OJ affair revealed the Yaniv story. And Yaniv, at that point, his name was being kept confidential by the human rights gangsters. It's confidential. Well, you make a complaint. Well, why would that be confidential? You know, anyway. Yaniv, I mentioned him before. Jonathan Yaniv, though he also goes by Jessica, because Yaniv, although he says he has a penis, if it, I believe him, has gone after, I believe, at 16 aestheticians in Vancouver. He's actually approached more than that. Asked them for he phoned them up and asked them if they would do a Brazilian wax job on him, and that means removing the genital hair, pubic hair, from the genital area, from the testicles and the penis. And over the phone, three of the people he contacted said yes, they'd do that. Oh yeah, then he said, oh, I still have a penis, but I'm a woman. Oh yeah, okay, well, whatever. In the kingdom of the lost, who knows? I believe 17 said they wouldn't. Now then, the next thing they found was that they were going to be complained against to the British Columbia Human Rights Tribunal, which is fanatically anti-Christian and anti-traditional and anti-heterosexual. So, as we found out in the earlier Watcott case. And one of these cases, was heard last week, and fortunately did get a lot of very negative press commentary. Anyway, what Yanev did was he complained that this, I believe she's from Latin America, refused to give him a Brazilian wax, and she said, well, first of all, it's in, you know, I work out of my own home. I feel uncomfortable having a man there. Usually, you know, the as an esthetician, she works on women. Okay, but fair enough. And she said, I feel uncomfortable about it, and you know, it's against my morality. Well, you'd think she'd have the right, first of all, in her own home to do what she wants, and secondly, in her you know, to be entitled to her version of her take on morality. Well, she's now dragged before the British Columbia Human Rights Tribunal. He's claiming that his dignity is being damaged, and the people like her are what? I think they actually used the word neo-Nazis. This is madness. The fact that it should even be possible is madness. It shows how off the rails we've become. But anyway, back to the latest persecution of Bill Lotka. So Bill exposed what this fat person Yanev was doing as a, you know, a complete abuse of people. It's actually a shakedown, because we know he did settle with at least one of these poor, frightened people who rather than the public outing and the cost of a going to a human rights tribunal, probably hiring a lawyer, and also the costs if they lose, like Watcott did to OJ. He was hit with $55,000 in fines or punishments. Anyway, Watcott goes back to the Yanev story. The flyer that allegedly harmed Mr. Yanev so much that he needs $35,000. And given the British Columbia Human Rights Tribunal did not summarily dismiss his complaint, which is within their power to do, it appears they might agree with him. Jonathan Yanev's BC Human Rights Tribunal complaint, asking for $35,000 because I allegedly called him a man and criticized his vexatious habit for finding women working as estheticians out of their homes, demanding that they wax his female penis, and then slapping them with human rights complaints when they refuse. Jonathan Yanev needs expedited service to fleece me of $35,000 because he's worried I'm going to be in jail for 18 months to get his cash. And there's pictures of Yanev. With a, I would call it a halter top dress, or bare sides and back, and a covering of, well, what in a woman would be breasts. This is, it, you know, we really are in Freak City. And this came out in a lot of what Brad was talking about. We are dealing with an increasingly lost society. You know, our leadership simply cannot get things right, and the reason isn't hard to determine. When you can't get the basics right, you know, when you can't get, you know, the fundamental morals right, you know, what's a marriage, man and woman, their sexual identity is biologically determined. You know, if you have a penis, you're a male. If you have a vagina, you're a female. When there is deliberately created sexual confusion, and it is by the promotion of this nonsense in the schools, then when you can't get these basic things right, you start failing to get the big other things right. You know, you can't even adequately handle border security anymore. Well, you know, we've got to worry about. No, you don't have to worry about the rights of the invaders. You send them back. You have a system that you enforce, and when the others see that, they take you seriously. I was saying on the Ethnostate today that that there's something called the Third World Street. And by that I mean information sharing. And while the Third Worlders may not be one-on-one as intelligent as we are, they're quite shrewd, or the Third World Street is quite shrewd about knowing who can help you and who can hurt you. And the word goes out. Where's the opportunity? Well, they know Canada's leadership is at best lost, though actually it's worse than that. The ultimate goal is the replacement of the white race. The ultimate goal is our replacement by mass third world immigration. That's what Canada's cultural Marxist elite wants to do. And so they're not in the game of enforcing immigration rules. And the street knows that. 2 years ago, by way of a big old finger in the face of Donald Trump, our trust fund kid prime minister said that Canada welcomed refugees of all races and origins and religions. You know, when Donald Trump had made some critical comments about Muslims. Oh boy, did we ever show, or did he ever show Trump? Well, yeah, he showed Trump that he's an idiot. Trudeau's an idiot. And the street heard that and said, they're open for business. And they went, okay, they poured into Canada. Similarly, when they sense that we are not really serious, and even with Trump, that's not his fault, I would say, mostly not his fault. He has an incredibly corrupt system and tremendous opposition within that system to him. But the word has gone out to much of the third world. Look, it's worth the try. You get into the United States, okay, they might turn you back, but there's a good chance that you'll eventually be able to stay. As opposed to people coming from Central America to Mexico. Now, there's a corrupt understanding. As long as you're on passing on through up to the United States, they don't hassle you too much. However, Mexico is extremely harsh on Guatemalans or El Salvadorians or Nicaraguans who want to stay in Mexico. And the Third World Street knows that. Don't mess with Mexico, but go on up to the United States. Well, this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side. I mean, play some songs by a guy called the Possum, George Jones. George passed away a few years ago, but George was a great character, a great country and western singer. For a brief time, married to Tammy Wynette. They had a tempestuous marriage and romance. They did some great duets together. During his heavy drinking and I think also drug-consuming days, he was often called No Show Jones because he missed a lot of concerts. Anyway, the great George Jones, this is Paul Fromm, you're on the fighting side of me here on White Resistance Radio.
Lightning.
start flashing.
White lightning.
George Jones.
Will it stay there? Will that love
light grow dim, you can just see the happiness. You can't see the tears, it's true, 'cause you're living in your tender years. So if I can't be your first love, I will, and be your last. I'll be somewhere in your future to help you forget the past. And you'll know that I love you, the love that's sincere, 'cause I'll wait till you're through living in your tender years. Yes, you'll know that I love you, the love that's sincere. Yes, I'll wait till you're through living in your tender years. I've been living a new land of life that I love so, but I can see the clouds are gathering and the storm will wreck our home. For last night he hugged you tightly and you didn't even show. For I've been watching you from the window up above. You must have thought that I was sleeping, and I wish that I had been. But it's best to get to know you and the way your heart can sing.
Thank you.
say she's just another girl now, just a flame that lost its glow. And I say her name has slipped my mind now, and she's just a girl I used to know. Girl I used to spend some time with, just a friend from long ago. I don't talk about the night I cried about her. I say she's just a girl I used to know.
Thank you.
day I have ventured in love, never once suspecting what the final result would be. And how I lived in fear of waking up each morning and finding that you're gone from me. There's aching and pain in my heart, for the day was the one that I headed to face. Somebody new came up to win her, and I came out in second place. Now the race is on, and here comes pride at the backstretch. Heartaches are going to the inside. My tears are holding back, they're trying not to fall. My heart's out of the running, through love's scratch for another's sake. The race is on, and it looks like heartaches, and the winner loses all.
God, this.
Well, I have lived a lot and done my part of running around, and never did I think I'd let a sweet love get me down.